When we started Grape Encounters Radio 136 episodes ago, more than a few people told me that it would be tough to come up with fresh material week after week. That most certainly has not been the case. In fact, the challenge each week is to figure out what not to talk about because there's always so many interesting things going on. This is David Wilson, your wine captain, on this little cruise through the wonderful world of wine. This week, I've got some interesting grape encounters to share with you, including the latest celebrity to get into the wine biz, a big surprise on the list of the 10 best wine destinations, a great way to co-op great wine as a wedding gift, tips on what wines to pair with sizzling hot ethnic fare, and a study that claims we're a sucker for complicated wine names. Really now. Plus, with St. Paddy's Day coming up in a few weeks, we're going to talk a bit about beer. Yes, I said beer. Particularly since the beer lobby wants you to know that their brew is good for you too. Plus beer gadgets from our gadget guru, Matt Dubow. Now, did I mention we're going to get political too? Now, I never talk politics, but I thought you might like to know what wines pair best with what candidates and what those candidates have to say about wine. So much to know. What a show. Alrighty then, let's get this party started with our very first news item.
Here's a special news bulletin.
Many years, we've seen countless t-shirts and car bumpers emblazoned with those words, Virginia is for lovers. Today, they may want to add a four-letter word to that phrase. That's because Wine Enthusiast magazine recently announced its top 10 wine destinations for 2012, and while one would expect to see places like the Champagne region of France and regions in California, Spain, Germany, and Chile on the list, the big surprise is Virginia. These days, Virginia is not just for lovers. It's also a hot destination for wine lovers. It may be hard to imagine, but with nearly 200 wineries to explore in nearly every part of the state, Virginia is becoming a big contender in the wine business and is getting some very well-deserved recognition as a serious wine producer. It's estimated that approximately 1 million people will include a visit to a Virginia winery while they visit the state of Virginia. And Virginia's wine sales are up a whopping 11% in just the last year. Now, explaining why Virginia was included on Wine Enthusiast's very prestigious list, writer Alex Corman lists historically significant sites, picturesque pastoral landscapes, elegant equestrians, and affable winemakers as key factors that set Virginia apart as an excellent wine destination. So what kind of wines will you find in Virginia? Well, visitors will discover popular varietals like Chardonnay, Viognier, Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, and Cabernet Franc on Virginia wine lists, as well as a long list of other wines that most have probably never heard of. And while many varietal names may be unfamiliar, big names like Donald Trump, that's right, Donald Trump, are bringing notoriety to Virginia wines. Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus, but he's got really funky hair.
You're fired.
You know, it wasn't all that long ago that you couldn't even get a genuine taco in Virginia. But now, ethnic food is all the rage all over the country. But if you prefer wine to beer, selecting something to savor with serious spiciness can be challenging. You know, I've been asked more than a few times what to drink and what not to drink when the food is hot. So I'm going to give you my answer today. Look, I love my tantalizing Thai, marvelous Mexican food, and incomparable Indian foods. They can really spice up your life, but they can also present a serious pairing predicament if you're a wine lover. Everyone knows the rules. If it's big and it's beefy, then reach for the red, and if it clucks, gobbles, or swims, then white will be just right. One would tend to pair spice with red. Enough said? Well, not necessarily so. If you've ever consumed Cabernet or sipped a Syrah after chomping down on one of those nasty little Thai peppers, you know that your first instinct is to scope the room for a fire extinguisher, or at least ask the waiter for a glass of milk. The tannins and higher alcohol in big red wines can often heat up food that's already sizzling hot, taking your culinary adventure over the top and not in what I would call a good way. So, what do you do? The next time you find yourself in a hurry for curry, you reach for a Riesling or you gulp a Gewürztraminer. Now, I know what you're saying, there's no cayenne pepper in German food, so why pair German with those spicy foods? Well, they may seem like strange bedfellows, but they really do work very well together. Okay, maybe you're one of those people that would rather be dead than give up your red. If that's the case, reach for Pinot Noir or Beaujolais, they're very good options. Oh, and if the only alcoholic beverage on the menu is a beer that you can't pronounce, well, then just ask if you can bring your own wine. All right, now we're going to jump from spicy ethnic food to weddings and honeymoons, and there is a connection. After all, lots of honeymoons take place in places like Jamaica or Cabo San Lucas, where there's lots of spicy food around, so a nice segue. But really and truly, I do want to talk about wedding gifts for a moment. Now, let's suppose that your nephew's getting married and you want to get the happy couple a great bottle of honeymoon bubbly. But $150 is way beyond your limit. I came across a way that you can still get them a gift like that by joint venturing a honeymoon surprise. So when it comes to wedding gifts, maybe you're not the toaster type. And since everyone considers you to be the family wine aficionado, you decide that a bottle of Cristal or Dom Perignon would be perfect for the young couple. Ah, but you can get a blender or a toaster for $40, but a bottle of Fantastic Fizz is going to set you back, well, more money than you're willing to spend. So you say forget it, right? Welp, not so fast. Thanks to the internet and a clever concept called Honeymoon Registry, you can easily get others to chip in on something exciting for the ice bucket. Because so many brides and grooms-to-be already have more than enough to furnish a happy home, the focus these days is on the honeymoon. And countless wedding well-wishers are opting to make the traditional post-wedding adventures something amazingly magical. Now, a pioneer of the honeymoon registry concept and the leading online resource is a company called honeymoonwishes.com. It's honeymoonwishes.com. Many couples are registering there in lieu of big department stores and houseware retailers, and well-wishers can jointly contribute to all kinds of special surprises when they log on, and you don't even have to wrap a thing. Now, when your nephew and his new bride slip into that heart-shaped tub, your bubbly will be beckoning. And there's one other really good thing to remember. If they don't go through with the wedding, your credit card's gonna get refunded. Okay, so speaking of weddings, you know, most single people have that short list of people that they would probably marry if only that person would ask them. And on my short list is a celebrity that recently got into the winemaking game. We're going to talk about her in just a second. But first, I absolutely have to tell you about this crazy study that I came upon. Now, have you ever looked at a wine bottle and saw a name on it? Let's say it has 27 letters that you absolutely can't pronounce. Well, according to this study, if you can't pronounce it and you don't know what it means, there's a pretty good chance that you're gonna buy it. Yes, indeed, amazing but true. If you can't pronounce the name on that wine, then it must be good. At least that's what wine lovers think, according to a recent study by Dr. Antonia Mantanakis. Now, that's not the easiest name to pronounce, Dr. Mantanakis. Well, Dr. Mantanakis is at Brock University up in Canada, and she suspected that wine drinkers might very well be wowed by wines with names that are difficult to pronounce. Turns out she was right. The study revealed that English-speaking wine consumers were more likely to buy wines with difficult-to-pronounce names than those with simple names like, Red Table Wine. As you might suspect, consumers also rated the wines higher in a blind tasting and were actually willing to pay more. It makes sense. After all, someone has to pay for all those extra letters. So Dr. Mantanakis hypothesizes that things that are difficult to pronounce are unfamiliar because they're usually rare. Now, I'm not sure that I buy that at all. After all, sushi is easy to pronounce. It's as rare as it gets, being that it's uncooked, and everybody knows sushi. If you knew sushi like... Oh, never mind. Anyway, Dr. Mantanakis admits that laboratory findings might not be reflected in wine purchases. She says whether these results would replicate in a more natural setting is something that we don't know. As for me, I don't think anyone should be allowed to drink in a laboratory. That's how we got Frankenstein. You know, it makes you wonder. Had he been called Frank, would he have been even less popular? And finally, as promised, the latest entry into the celebrity winemaking race. Now, there is no shortage of celebrity winemakers, but this latest entry is someone that would probably be on my list of those most unlikely to put their name on a wine bottle. You know, nothing has really surprised me when it comes to actors, singers, sports heroes, and other celebrities that have attached their names to wine. Until I learned that Drew Barrymore has gone grape. Yes, indeed, I said Drew Barrymore. Now, a Drew microbrew would have made a little bit more sense. Nonetheless, when it comes to actresses, I'd love to have in my wine cellar, Drew would be hard to top. The star, known for mischievous roles in movies like Bad Girls, Poison Ivy, Riding in Cars with Boys, The Amy Fisher Story, Gun Crazy, and Boys on the Side, has just released a Pinot Grigio of all things. And what's really amazing is that it's made from grapes grown in northern Italy, not Drew's native California. Barrymore says she wanted to create a fresh, dynamic, and fun wine that reflects her style and personality. Now, let there be no mistake, I can't wait to try Drew's wine. If it really and truly manages to capture her style and personality, it ought to be a real treat. Who knows? After a glass or two, I might be inclined to get my first tattoo. Grape Encounters is brought to you by EpicStyle.com. If you're living the wine lifestyle or the beer or spirit lifestyle too, check out EpicStyle.com. They are absolutely amazing.
A meal without wine is like a day without sunshine. Except on a day without sunshine, you can still enjoy wine. A little food for thought. Compliments of Grape Encounters Radio.
Lots of wineries talk about growing great grapes. This winery talks about growing great wines. Sarlos & Sons in Los Olivos, California, grows great wine, period. This family winemaking operation doesn't have a traditional mission statement. They have a family creed. Live to honor those that come before us and prepare the way for those yet to come. It's with this sense of pride that Sarlos & Sons grows great wine. Grapes grown in the shadow of the farmer ensures the highest quality of grapes are used in Sarlos & Sons wines. Check them out at sarlosandsons.com and also be sure to check out their once-in-a-lifetime wines. Sarlos & Sons is a dream coming true, and they can help make your dreams come true with their exclusive once-in-a-lifetime wines, which commemorate those unrepeatable, unforgettable moments in your life. Learn more about this and more at sarlosandsons.com. That's S-A-A-R-L-O-O-S and sons.com.
We are so fortunate on Grape Encounters Radio to have some incredible authors of books related to wine on the show. But there are two books that I really have a soft spot in my heart for. The first one is a book that just came out. It's called Yard Wine. It's a neighborly thing written by Nancy Roddy and Kathy Larson. Oh my gosh, if you want to know how to bring your neighborhood together using a bottle of wine and your front porch, then pick up a copy of Yard Wine. You'll find the link at grapeencounters.com. Now, another book that I've got a real soft spot for is Tom Silberkleit's California Directory of Fine Wineries. There is no better wine-related travel book than the California Directory of Fine Wineries. Absolutely spectacular photographs, great information. This book will make you salivate more than a great Cabernet Sauvignon. You'll find a link to Tom's book also on grapeencounters.com. Check out the reading material at grapeencounters.com. With Grape Encounters Radio, David Wilson here. And you know what? St. Paddy's Day is coming in just a couple of weeks, and that is when beer steps into the spotlight. Now, historically, beer has always been top dog in the adult beverage category until really it was about 2 years ago when wine overtook beer in sales. Now, I always feel a little bit alienated on St. Patrick's Day because it's a beer holiday for sure.
It's been St. Patrick's Day for hours and I'm still not drunk yet.
And, you know, I am more of a wine drinker. Now, there is somebody who is a big friend of Grape Encounters Radio that is not only big on wine, he is big on beer. He is the gadget guru, Matt Dubow, and he always wants me to talk about the beer products that they have over at Epic Style. And I always seem to swerve him back into the wine lane. Matt, yes. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You know what? I'm giving in, Matt. We're going to talk beer on a wine show a little bit.
This has got to be so difficult for you.
I know. I like beer. You know, I guess it was probably about 3 weeks ago, I went to this beer versus wine tasting. It was a lot of fun. They served up some really cool food, and then they gave you a beer and a wine to pair with the food. And I have to admit that there were certain beers that I actually liked in the pairing better than the wine. Can you imagine that?
Really?
I'm admitting that on national radio.
That's huge.
Let's talk about St. Patrick's Day. Matt, that's got to be a big holiday for EpicStyle.com because, oh my gosh, beer drinkers just come out in droves, don't they?
They definitely do.
Do you celebrate the holiday?
Sure.
No, seriously, do you like dye your hair green or do anything like that?
I don't, but actually I used to work in an Irish pub years ago.
Oh, you
so
did?
I think that's where it started for me.
You kind of look Irish, actually, a little bit.
You think so?
Yeah, kind of. I think you do. You know, the people do get very out of hand.
Anybody want a drink?
On St. Patrick's Day, they really take it very seriously. You know, one of the things I wondered is you do not have a beer cage. You know, you have cork cages, but you don't have beer cap cages.
You know, we do. We do. It's called a beer bottle cap keeper, and it looks like an old-time beer can, and you keep your bottle caps in.
Okay.
So we do.
I didn't even know that. I don't have one of those, Matt. I probably won't be buying that product, but is that popular?
Yes.
All right.
There are actually a lot of people that save their beer caps.
You know what? So many people get out of hand that drink beer, and I'm not taking pot shots at beer drinkers, but they do a little bit, you know? So I was thinking a beer cage might be a jail. All right. Not funny. Hey, so here's a really funny thing that I came upon. You know, I was doing a little bit of research, and actually the research started with me trying to figure out how much crossover there is between beer drinkers and wine drinkers. And, you know, to save my soul, I couldn't find any statistics that showed how many people that drink beer also drink wine. Do you have a feel for that?
Well, I can just speak for myself, and I know that I like both. And so I will obviously drink beer, and some days I'll drink wine. And actually, some days, which you're not supposed to do, don't mix your grapes.
I know it's
drink.
Coming.
But I do. I have on occasion had a few beers and then switched to wine.
Like yesterday, probably. Oh,
that's a hangover waiting to happen, I got to tell you.
Okay, so this is pretty funny. You know how on the show we often talk about the health benefits of wine, you know, because there's a bunch of them. And you always see news stories about new claims of good health that come from drinking wine, especially red wine. Usually it's associated with the tannins and the fact that they're a very powerful antioxidant. And so, you know, everything from making your heart healthier to warding off skin cancer, there are just a whole wide range of benefits to drinking red wine. So get this. I came across this article. It was in AskMen.com. It was the health benefits of beer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And they went on for quite some time about all of the benefits. And they were serious about this. They say in the article, they say, take heed, all you beer lovers. It's now a proven fact that beer, yes, beer can provide the same health benefits as wine. No matter what type of ale you prefer, studies show that drinking beer in moderation, who does that? That's up to 2 drinks a day, can and will reduce your chance of strokes as well as heart and vascular disease.
Huh.
Do you buy that?
Don't know about that.
Okay, and then they're attributing it all to the French paradox, and that's really funny because I always have seen the French paradox applied to wine. The French paradox is the link between a low rate of heart disease and their high consumption of red wine. And they say that even though they have this very fat-laden diet, that the wine counteracts that.
So how does that work with beer?
Okay, so here's what I've learned, okay? First of all, back in November of 1999, the New England Journal of Medicine stated that light to moderate beer drinkers would decrease their chance of suffering a stroke by 20%. They also stated that those who drink one beer a day compared to those who drink one beer a week experience no difference in reducing stroke risk. So, you know, a beer a day, I guess that'll keep the doctor away. The University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center at Dallas reported that consuming moderate amounts of beer would lower one's chance of coronary heart disease by 30 to 40% compared to those who don't drink it at all. What do you think about that?
That's interesting.
Anyway, it goes on. Beer contains a lot of vitamin B6, which is supposed to be good for you, and a study performed by the TNO Nutrition and Food Research Institute indicates that those who drink beer had no increase in their homocysteine level, but those who drank wine or liquor had an increase of up to 10%. And apparently, do you know what that is, by the way?
I have no idea what that.
Well, homocysteine, here's what they say. They say those of us who have a high level of homocysteine are usually more prone to an early onset of heart and vascular disease. So there you have it.
Huh.
Matt, we haven't talked about any products.
Just hey, the beer cap.
You know what? We're going to do this segment. I got to do it next. It's we're pairing wine and the political candidates. You might want to distance yourself from this
just,
one.
Just keep me out of that.
Do you mind if we call you back in about, you know, 15 minutes or so and do what we set out to do on the show?
Please go ahead.
All right. We're going to do that. We'll be back with Matt Dubow, our gadget guru, in just a second. Next up, pairing politicians with wines on Grape Encounters Radio.
Have you had all you can take of politics, the economy, and celebrity rehab stories?
The reality is, if I heard that on the radio, I'd turn it off.
That's why we created Grape Encounters Radio.
Tired of being caught unprepared? Want to be a good scout? That's what we thought. With Napkin by JNC Enterprises, you can be Johnny on the spot and be prepared for unexpected messes. The Napkin is one very clever product. These little beauties are barely the size of a small breath mint, but they come to life as a durable, convenient, and sturdy hand towel with just a few drops of water. You'll want to keep a supply of napkins everywhere you would keep a hand towel, paper towel, wash rag, or moist towelette. Napkin is all of these things in one very compact little tablet. Use it to wipe greasy hands, remove makeup, and even to entertain dinner guests. You never know when Napkin will come in handy. Get Napkin at NapkinJNC.com. It's completely eco-friendly and made of 100% recycled paper. Clean your environment and keep the environment clean with Napkin from NapkinJNC.com.
One of these days, I'm going to get in trouble for picking on pretentious people. Who knows, you know, I may go home one night, pull back the covers, and find a turned-up nose in my bed. Look, if you're a wine lover who really is put off by pretentiousness, if you want to discover more ways to have fun with fermented fruit, if you're always looking for new wine-related adventures and discoveries, then check out GrapeEncounters.com. GrapeEncounters.com has a huge library of audio adventures covering topics you're just not gonna hear anyplace else. It's fun, fascinating, and it's free. Hey, there's something funny about this wine. So join us at the corner of fermented and demented. It's GrapeEncounters.com. Come on, give us a taste. When it comes to wine, it's the most fun that you can have without turning your feet purple. GrapeEncounters.com. It is Grape Encounters Radio. David Wilson, your wine captain at the helm. And you know, on Grape Encounters, we talk a lot about unusual and interesting wine pairings. Now, last week, we did a segment on pairing wine with the Academy Award Best Picture nominees. Well, this week, the political scene continues to heat up, so I thought it would be fun to suggest some wines that might pair nicely with the top political candidates.
And now for a special announcement from the President of the United States.
After all, going through an election can definitely put a knot in your stomach, so what better than a nice bottle of wine to balance things out a little bit? While the race is definitely narrowing from a poll perspective, there are four candidates on the Republican side that continue to duke it out. So let's take a look at what wines go with what candidates. I know you're thinking, you've got to be kidding. Well, first up, it's Ron Paul. I really like this guy. He just seems so incredibly sincere. Now, Ron Paul has had his eyes on the White House for a very long time, and a lot of people really love him for his determination and fiscal sensibilities. Accordingly, I've selected White Zinfandel for Representative Paul. Now think about it, it really does make sense. White Zinfandel's been around for a very long time, and it continues to be a consistently popular wine. White Zin drinkers are also a determined bunch who are very reluctant to try anything else. Now, from a fiscal standpoint, White Zin is incredibly inexpensive, so it makes sense as a pairing for Paul because drinking White Zin may be an indication that you're watching out for your spending. And finally, and most importantly, White Zin drinkers have never gotten the respect they deserve, and so it's an excellent choice to pair with a candidate who is not taken seriously by much of the voting constituency. Sorry about that. Next up, and lagging in third place in most polls, is Newt Gingrich. Now, this one to me was totally obvious, and I picked Merlot to pair with the former Speaker of the House. First of all, there was a time when Merlot used to be incredibly popular. In fact, it didn't matter whose place you were at, Merlot was what's in the house. These days, many wine drinkers are finding Merlot a bit hard to swallow compared to Pinot Noir, which gained immense popularity thanks to being the wine of choice for Miles, the lead character in the hit movie Sideways. Miles hated Merlot, and the wine took a major beating, no longer being valued by wine drinkers as it once was. Now, like Merlot, Newt has been sitting on the sidelines for a number of years now, and for many, he was all but forgotten. I was told by a winemaker not long ago that Merlot grapes used to command up to $5,000 a ton. These days, you can buy the grapes for around $1,500 a ton. The sad part is, Merlot's fall from grace really wasn't justified. Like Gingrich, the wine simply wasn't taken seriously by the press, as all eyes were on Pinot. Now, I'm thinking that if I was a Merlot grape and had served my people well, I'd be crabby and a bit bitter, too. People still buy Merlot, just as there remains a lot of nostalgic affection for Newt Gingrich, but a lot of people find themselves questioning the decision to go for Merlot, and they even forget why it fell from grace. These folks find themselves wondering, wasn't there a reason why we stopped drinking this?
I believe it incumbent upon the next president of the United States to get this country moving again.
Next up, it's Rick Santorum. Now, Santorum is the epitome of youth and vitality. In 1990, at the age of just 32, he was a long-shot candidate for the U.S. House of Representatives from Pennsylvania's 18th Congressional District. Considered a rising star within the Republican Party, Santorum soon sought higher office and won election to the U.S. Senate in 1994 at the young age of just 36. At 53, Santorum is considered by some to be a bit green for the job and not quite ripe enough for the task. That's why I've chosen Beaujolais Nouveau as the wine to pair with Santorum. For those unfamiliar with Beaujolais Nouveau, it's a French wine that is bottled and sold while it's still very young. It is also referred to as a green wine because of its youth. For a period around the late 90s, some wine critics criticized Beaujolais Nouveau as simple and immature. The wine critic Karen McNeil has compared drinking Beaujolais Nouveau with eating cookie dough. This misses the point of drinking Beaujolais Nouveau, which is to enjoy the wine as early as possible while it's still fresh and fruity, or indeed simple and immature. Beaujolais Nouveau takes center stage in November, just like Santorum, and leading up to that point, heavy ad campaigns urge consumers to put aside their usual favorites in favor of this fresh and very different option. Like Santorum, in the weeks leading up to November, there's a lot of buzz and excitement about the wine. It's very low in tannins, the ingredients in wine that turns off a lot of young wine drinkers because it makes the wine dry and hard to swallow. At this point, many doubt that Santorum can win the primary, let alone the election. That may be true, so it's fitting to remember that after November, Beaujolais Nouveau quickly becomes a distant memory. Mitt Romney appears to be the leading candidate on the Republican side. The son of Michigan Governor George Romney, Mitt founded the investment firm Bain Capital. He ran for Massachusetts Senate, but was defeated by incumbent Edward Kennedy. Romney took over the Salt Lake Organizing Committee and helmed a successful 2002 Olympic Games. He was elected governor of Massachusetts in 2003, made a run for the Republican presidential nomination in 2008, but lost to John McCain. Romney has literally grown up in conservative Republican circles and has been a well-known face in corporate America for many years. Given the life he has lived and the company he has kept, it's almost impossible not to pair the Massachusetts governor with the darling of conservative wine drinkers, Cabernet Sauvignon. Cabernet is a strong and determined wine, often bone dry and sometimes unpalatable for younger wine drinkers eager to try something different than the same old, same old. Still, as the founder of a leading investment capital firm, one could see Romney with a glass of Cabernet in his mitt. I know, Romney doesn't drink alcohol because of his religious preferences. That's an important point and why, in the end, I decided not to pair Romney with Cabernet Sauvignon, but rather grape juice. After all, grape juice has always been popular, an old standby on the juice aisle. It contains no alcohol, and there's one important thing to note. Much of the focus of the Romney campaign revolves around the issues of keeping promises. Governor Romney has a lengthy laundry list of promises that he believes President Obama has failed to keep. Given that fact, grape juice makes perfect sense as the beverage to pair with the man who constantly claims his opponent welches on his commitments. I sure wish Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann would have stayed in the race. Both managed to take a lot of heat from the press and got picked on a lot. There are things I appreciate about both of them, but in the spirit of fun and considering the less than flattering press that they often got, I'm inclined to simply pair former Governor Palin with nearly any house wine and Michelle Bachmann with champagne. Why champagne for Bachmann, you ask? Well, while savored by many, it's not everyone's cup of tea, metaphorically speaking, and those who aren't fond of champagne usually complain that it upsets their stomach and gives them a headache. As for the house wine and Sarah Palin, I went with that because when you order the house wine and they set the glass down in front of you, it often looks way better than it actually is. Just having a little fun, folks. Don't write me any letters. Oh my gosh, there are equal time laws when it comes to poking fun at politicians, and I left out the number one guy, our current president, Barack Obama. You know, at first I was going to go with a red Zinfandel, though I later paired white Zin with Ron Paul. Red Zin made a lot of sense because there's been a long-running controversy over the grape's origin. Many are still not sure where the grape was born. In the end, I went with Pinot Noir. Here's my thinking on that choice. For many, Pinot came out of nowhere and knocked one of the most recognized names in wine off the shelf because the wine-drinking world was eager for a change, something new and different. Now, Pinot Noir comes in many different styles, and if you're not familiar with the bottle you've chosen, you really won't know what you're going to get. Our president certainly went into office with the best intentions, but many feel that he simply hasn't delivered and lived up to expectations. Now, Pinot is a very fussy grape, tremendously difficult to grow, and as a result, there's a lot of Pinot out there that disappoints. It's not hard to become disenchanted with Pinot, especially after you've gotten a bad taste in your mouth more than a few times. When that happens, wine drinkers start looking at other options. Many have jumped ship and flirted with other wines for a while, especially those that are currently in the limelight. The most recent poll shows that the president's approval rating, however, is up sharply, 49% to be exact. It seems that the more folks flirt with other presidential possibilities, the more they are reluctant to make a change, even if disappointment is commonplace. Meanwhile, back at your local wine shop, the price of Pinot continues to climb, and if you really want a good Pinot, it's likely to cost you dearly. And so it goes that winemakers will continue to focus their attention on this very finicky grape that is super sensitive and can quickly be wiped out by bad weather. I guess if trouble is brewing and the clouds are turning angry and gray, you better hurry up out to the Pinot Vineyard and put a tarp over it. You know, I have to say I've been very fortunate to have been invited to participate in some of the presidential debates, and I thought I'd share some of the answers to the questions that I asked. Senator Santorum, some people have criticized you because they say you spare no expense when it comes to buying a bottle of wine. They say that insisting on expensive wine means you're going to be a big spender in Washington.
Well, a lot has been written about this. I don't need to, give a lot of airtime to folks who have been rather vile in the way that they have attacked me and attacked the positions that I've held, distorted the positions I've held.
I think with your Italian background that you might want to save some money and make your own wine.
I'm not in that line of work.
But wouldn't that demonstrate your thriftiness to Americans?
But that's not relevant from the standpoint of how I view these issues from a public policy point of view, and that's why I answered the question the way I did.
Governor Romney, winemaking has become big business in America, and some are concerned that being of a religious persuasion that doesn't drink wine, you may be unwilling to support this mega $1 billion industry. If elected, will you be willing to sing praises to American wine?
For beautiful, for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains' majesty above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee. And crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea.
Mr. Gingrich, the news is absolutely filled with nonstop negativity. Grape Encounters Radio is an excellent diversion from so much depressing news. Do you listen to the show?
No, but I will.
Would you still listen to the show if you knew that this question was going to later be used to poke a little fun at politics?
I think the destructive, vicious, negative nature of much of the news media
makes it harder to govern this country, harder to attract decent people to run for public office. And I am appalled that you would begin a presidential debate on a topic like that.
Congressman Paul, you've been to your share of state dinners. Don't you find it ironic that American presidents often serve ridiculously expensive wines from foreign countries like France? How can we afford that at a time like this?
We spend so much money now that we have to borrow nearly $3 billion a day from foreigners to take care of our consumption. And we can't afford that. We can't afford it in the government. We can't afford it as a nation.
Governor Palin, you dropped out of the race, and people have said that you're often seen with a glass of wine in your hand. While there aren't many Alaskan wines, do you drink them? And are they any good?
I'll try to find you some and I'll bring them to you.
With Alaskan wines being so hard to come by, what have you done to get them noticed?
We did. We paid $30,000 for a lobbyist who was in D.C. because we're thousands and thousands of miles away from D.C.
Governor Palin, it's been rumored that now that you're out of the race, you've been offered the opportunity to work in an Alaskan wine tasting room. Any comment?
It's a great job, and I look forward to having that job.
Remember, folks, it's all in good fun, and don't take anything we say too seriously. We're going to catch up again with Matt Dubow, our gadget guru, when we return with Grape Encounters Radio. You know, for most people, wine is more than just a beverage. It's a lifestyle, motivating enthusiasts to decorate in wine themes, collect the latest gadgets, and coordinate the table setting with wine glasses and accessories that celebrate the season or occasion. It's no wonder that epicstyle.com is the hottest spot on the internet to shop for wine lifestyle products. Nothing compares to epicstyle.com's selection of clever, functional, fun, and beautiful products for wine lovers. epicstyle.com.
This is the time of year when wine lovers start planning their pilgrimage to California's wine regions. The perfect inspiration and companion is the California Directory of Fine Wineries. Featured are profiles of dozens of Central Coast and Northern California wineries, along with hundreds of color images by renowned photographer Robert Holmes. Plus, highlights of tours, tastings, maps, and events. These beautiful directories make a fantastic gift. Be sure to like the California Directory of Fine Wineries Facebook fan page for wine country news and events each week. Click on the link at GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
From time to time, you hear stories about everyday average people who, while cleaning the garage, come upon a painting that nobody liked. And what do you know? It turns out to be a Picasso. I wonder what it would be like to stumble upon a bottle of wine tucked away in a dark corner of your grandparents' pantry that was given to their parents as a wedding present. Rare wines can be very valuable indeed, and every bottle has an amazing story behind it. If you'd like to get up close and personal with some of the rarest wines on the planet, or better yet, if you'd like to take a stab at buying a bottle or two to treasure or even savor on some extraordinary special occasion, then you need to make your way to the St. Mark's 3rd Annual Cellar Classic, an auction of rare and fine wines on Saturday, July 28th in Los Olivos, California. You absolutely have to be there. July 28th in Los Olivos, California. For more information, click on the link at GrapeEncounters.com. With Grape Encounters Radio. This is David Wilson, of course, and we have also brought back Matt Dubow, the gadget guru. He is our hero. And Matt, we slided you in segment two of the show.
You got to get into political commentary.
Well, you know, I just got off on a tangent with beer because, you know, those beer drinkers, they're kind of jealous of us wine drinkers.
You think so?
Yeah, so they're making all these claims to good health when you drink beer. But, you know, you see a lot of people with beer bellies. You don't see people with wine bellies, do you?
No, you don't actually, do you?
No, you've never, nobody's ever looked at somebody else and said, look at that guy, he's got a wine belly. All right, so St. Patrick's Day is coming up in a couple of weeks. This is a big, epic style.com holiday. In fact, you got this gigantic ad on your website about St. Patrick's Day.
Yep.
Let's talk beer, Matt.
Yep.
I've avoided it for over a year now.
I know it's killing you.
Okay, so what's hot and what's not when it comes to beer products?
Well, obviously you need openers. That's key, especially since there's so many microbreweries out there that they're not twist off or in a can for the most part, so you definitely need an opener.
I thought real beer drinkers just put the bottle in their teeth and you know, pried it open.
Those are hardcore.
Have you ever done that?
I've tried, and I didn't want to break a tooth. So.
Yeah, but probably it was after a couple of beers, wasn't it?
It definitely was.
Okay.
It definitely was. So we have quite a few different openers, and some of them that are really hot, actually. We have these antique key bottle openers, and they look like antique keys, and you can open up a bottle of beer with them. And
yeah.
They have done amazingly well.
Yeah, you know what? I can see that, and it's funny because a lot of times beer drinkers will have an opener chained to their pants, you know, or hooked on their keychain, don't they?
Well, and speaking of that, we do have a lot of keychain bottle openers.
How did I know that?
Well, you know, there's so many times, and it's happened to me where you didn't have a bottle opener with you. So you know, we have guitar bottle openers and flip flops and surfboards and fish bones, and actually we have monogram keychain bottle openers.
And these are big sellers.
Yes.
Which is a bigger seller, bottle openers for beer or corkscrews for wine?
Probably corkscrews for wine.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that just because you've been doing wine-related products longer than beer?
I just think that there's kind of a, I don't want to say a mystique, or there's that romance with wine where people want to show opening up a bottle of wine, where I know a lot of people that will open up a bottle of beer on the side of a table. They don't care.
And like I said, in their teeth as well.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm being unkind. And, you know, it's really not fair because, truthfully, there are now thousands of beers out there, and they're getting really creative with beer making. And it really is exciting what they're doing with beer. It used to be just, you know, what, Miller, Bud, and Coors, right?
Right. Now you have all these microbreweries, and it's kind of like the wineries, where you'll have all these brewing houses doing all these microbrews.
Yeah.
And it's really, really good.
No, and you know what? And in all fairness, those beers that I tried even the other night, they were just so good. They were delicious.
Really?
And I wanted to not like them.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to. I just wanted to just stick with wine, and I didn't want to wander into the beer aisle.
Really?
But here I am, and I'm talking beer with you on Grape Encounters, and I've got listeners that are going, you've sold out, Dave.
I'm sure they are. But during the summertime, a nice cold beer when you're outside, you can't beat it.
Yeah, doing yard work. It's perfect for that. Okay, what else is hot?
Well, we have our Epic Cools, which are, you put it around the bottle, and either they wrap around the bottle or they sit on, or the can will sit inside, and it will keep your beer cold. And those have been amazingly hot.
So what's special about those?
I think what's special about them are the designs or the sayings, and we have the American flag, or we have some that are pet-related, sports-related, and actually we have some that are wedding-related.
I think it's safe to say that if you're into wine or you're into beer, whatever else you're into, whether it's sports or pets, Epic Style six its designers on that.
We do, and we're trying to be ahead of the trends.
So you know what's going to happen and become popular in pop culture even before it happens.
Well, we try to set the trend.
Okay, Matt, yep. What's going to be hot next?
Well, I think these Epic Cools have been doing really hot, and I don't see it slowing down anytime, especially coming into summertime.
How come you don't have, like, a Lady Gaga Epic Cool?
That just wouldn't work for us.
Why not?
I think it's probably a limited marketplace.
You know, what surprised me is, and we did a story earlier, Drew Barrymore is now in the winemaking business.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and wouldn't you have thought she'd be a beer drinker, not a wine drinker?
She's getting more sophisticated, I guess.
I guess, but you know what? I'm excited to try her wines. I think that after two or three glasses, I may be inspired to go out and get a tattoo.
Well, good for you. I'll miss that appointment.
You know, that would be fun, Matt, is you and I could go out and get tattoos. I've never gotten one, but I'm ready.
Okay.
What would yours say?
Why did I get this?
That's what it would say. See, that's funny because I've always said that my tattoo would say, the nice man with the safety pin in his nose said it would wash off.
That would be good.
I got time for one or two more products. And we're talking beer with Matt Dubow, the gadget guru. And we are talking beer in honor of St. Patrick's Day coming up in a couple of weeks.
Well, we also have, and this is not totally beer related, but a lot of coasters that, you know, you definitely need a coaster for your beer, and we have a lot of cork coasters that would be perfect that say, just chillin', cold beer here, beer me, this beer's for you. And just kind of fun sayings that people would like.
Okay, so Matt, I have an idea for you. What if we created a little pad that people could put on their forehead so that when they smash the beer can on their forehead, it doesn't hurt them as much?
They have that.
They have that.
No, I'm just kidding.
All right, it's Matt Dubow, epicstyle.com. Lots of cool beer things for you beer lovers and, of course, you wine lovers. Hey, Matt, what do you think about this?
Yeah.
What do you say we get together and do a side-by-side beer versus wine tasting? Are you game?
I'm game.
All right. I say we do that on the next show.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to make that happen. That's going to do it for Grape Encounters Radio. Matt, we love you. Love talking to you. And I hope you're happy. We did talk beer. And so there.
Well, thank you.
We'll do it one more time next week. We'll do that side by side. That's going to do it for Grape Encounters Radio. We'll see you next week when Matt Dubow and I will sit down and have a beer versus wine tasting just for you.
Eat right, get plenty of exercise, wash behind your ears, and drink your wine. It's good for you. So is Grape Encounters Radio.